Yeah, we're on the TechCast, baby. We're here with Finn and Are You Dead? Yeah, we're on the TechCast, baby. Rip in peace, Eddie Van Halen. What's up, guys? Sorry to bring us down on such a somber note, but it is a sad day. We lost Eddie Van Halen today. Legendary guitar player. Kind of tugs at the heartstrings a little bit, but we're going to get through this on the TagCast. This is Hoptimus. I am joined by the amazing Fenrir765, who is kind enough to share this amazing podcast with me. Tonight, special guest, Are You Dead, coming to us from his auto-tune setup. What's up, Are You Dead?
Not much. Are You Dead here? Just chilling with you guys and keeping the auto-tune up. Okay, I had to turn it on for a second.
Right?
I feel like that's like the most anti-Van Halen thing you can come up with.
Yeah, I have nothing.
I'm just messing with you, Dad. I'm just giving you.
That's fine.
Busting your chops there.
Go with it.
Yeah. Thanks, Hop, for that. Just intro. I mean, I heard a guy on the radio today say like, that's like so much. Eddie Van Halen dying is just like rest in peace to our youth in a lot of ways.
It's crazy. It's crazy, man. Like that was a generation for a lot of us. I mean.
Yeah.
If you grew up in the 80s and you watched MTV when you were a youngster, you saw a lot of Eddie Van Halen videos and you were like, man, I want to be that guy. Look at that guy. Like, look how awesome he is on the guitar. Like, holy crap.
I mean, he was definitely he bridged a lot of that era, you know, that the 70s through the 80s and kind of helped us, you know, not get too out of whack in the 80s where it was heading down. So
they were just a lot of fun too. I mean, that band had its fair share of crazy drama later on, but the early 80s
like,
were definitely
like who's the other guy that's singing in Van Halen,
right?
Yeah, but yeah, I mean it's a bummer. Yeah, throat cancer. I mean, that's a shitty way to go.
A lot of musicians seem to Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden got it, beat it. Dave Mustaine from Megadeth has recently conquered the throat cancer. It seems like it goes around in those communities. I don't know if it's all the smoke on stage, all the screaming. So
it's probably a little bit of everything.
Could
which
be.
Which is unfortunate.
I guess a little bit of everything in there. But
I mean, you know, it's a bummer, but we do have video games to help us cope and make it through these tough times.
Yeah.
You know, we did a mini cast, you know, what was it, a week ago? Yeah, it was a week ago.
Two weeks ago.
Was it 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Dear God, time is
a while ago.
I don't even know where time is anymore, man. Yeah, we did a mini cast with our response to the whole Microsoft buying Bethesda or ZeniMax Studios rather. We did our mini cast in response to PlayStation.
Series
X launch and talked about our pre-order experiences. Are You Dead? Were you able to secure a pre-order for the Series X or the PlayStation?
Lucky. I got mine coming from Microsoft. I've only got the one, so I have my fingers crossed that Microsoft won't screw it up.
Well,
if I don't get it on launch day, though, I'll be fine, I guess.
At least Microsoft knows that you live in this country, so there's that for you.
They recognize Minnesota is a continental place or part of the United States, so I'm good with that.
Yeah, because obviously Indiana is not.
Yeah, we don't exist.
Everybody knows it's not part of the U.S.
you know,
so,
landlocked and everything. But I mean,
speaking of Xbox and Series X, what about 8K gaming? Like, is that even going to be a thing?
Well, they're talking about it. Phil Spencer was saying that he doesn't think it'll ever become standard for video games. And I think this is going to be like when Bill Gates said we'll never need more than 512 kilobytes or something like that back in the 80s.
Yeah, I don't know about never is probably a term I would probably never throw around. I would say it's probably a good 4 to 8 years off, maybe as a standard.
It might start to become standard by the end of the Series X.
That's my 4 years. You might see, I'm predicting in 4 years, you might start to see some games push 8K gaming. I'm saying 8 to 10 years before that becomes a standard of graphical fidelity. I don't know. That's kind of insane, though. I mean, when you think about most people can't tell the difference between 2K and 4K at a 6 foot distance. I don't really know what 8K will do for us at that point. I mean, you don't even need anti-aliasing a lot of the times with 4K now. So I'm really finding it. I'm like, wow, okay.
I'm loving the, when I upgraded my little monitor to 8K, or not to 8K, to 4K, that was like huge. And it's like, I don't know, it took me forever. And I've had this monitor for the last year and I've never used it on 4K for some odd reason. I don't know why.
I mean, that's part of the debate. Like, you know, my wife and I have gone back and forth on, you know, 1080p versus 480, you know, just.
The biggest difference between 1080p and 4K as far as the TV tech goes, the resolution, you're not going to see a huge difference. What you're going to see the huge difference is that 4K HDMI 2 supports HDR. And that's the big difference that the 1080p sets don't have. That's going to be huge. When you see that, you're going to go, whoa.
Yeah, the color gamut is going to be all about it.
That's
the
bigger thing.
That's the thing.
Seeing it in like movie theaters though first and stuff like that, unless they're 8K already, I don't know.
No.
As far as I know, the movie theaters are only doing 4K for most of their digital projectors.
But even then, when you get to that large of a screen, you lose some of that fidelity.
I guess. So yeah. I never thought of that. I just figured they're trying to push it as an experience versus what you can get at home, and if they can do 8K, but that would cost them a fortune. I don't think they can afford it. They're probably still paying for 4K for all we know.
I mean, I think Hop's right. 8K will be a thing eventually. I mean, unless something else comes out, like some massive leap in technology with holographic crap or VR really takes off and things of that nature. But I mean, it's the envelope will be pushed.
Because I don't think they even do. I don't know if any VR sets can even do 4K yet. Can they? I don't know.
But I mean, at that point, you're looking at immersion, so that it's going to be more about.
True.
Smarter people have talked about this better than I have. You know, maybe one of you guys know, or, you know, Hybrid or somebody like that. I know Mel has gone in depth about the whole, you know, pixel to eye ratio inside of 4K.
Yeah, it's different with VR because it's right on your face. Like,
yeah.
True. I know PlayStation VR is pretty cool, but I know the resolution of it itself is a lot lower than what would really be immersive on VR, where something like Oculus Rift is actually a lot closer. I know that Phil Spencer himself has talked about we'll do VR when it becomes the thing. And so far it hasn't. Like, it's still they're still playing with this technology. Once it becomes really apparent that the industry is moving toward that, that's where we'll go.
I think the fact that you need a large space experience and like sensors is going to limit it. I mean, the portable headsets look cool. I still have my old wired one.
Some of this tech, like, honestly, like 8K, I feel like is just these companies are like, okay, well, we've sold through all of our 4K options and nobody's going to buy a new TV unless we do something different. And they're like, oh, let's do 8K. Okay. If you look at the specs right now for HDMI 2.1, the 8K spec is just the current 4K spec, but at quadruple the resolution, right? There's no improved color gamut. So when we get to an 8K where, say, they push instead of 10-bit HDR, we get like 16-bit HDR, then you might see a bigger difference or bigger appeal to go to 8K. But now, it's kind of like when they first announced 4K. I don't know if you guys remember this, when 4K was first announced, there was a couple sets early on. It didn't do HDR. It didn't really do anything other than quadruple the resolution of 1080p, and it wasn't that big of a thing at the time, and there were no native 4K formats to support it for a long. I mean, the first native 4K devices, I think, were the Xbox One S and like the early 4K Blu-rays, and it was very expensive. It took a while for it to catch on.
Well, I think the big thing with the resolution thing is it's going to be more about, can you get that realistic look, like,
right,
you know,
at that point, like I was saying, the nice thing about 8K is you probably wouldn't need to use as many graphical effects to hide stair stepping or shimmering because the resolution's so fine you won't even notice.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and I mean, you get that depth that was missing from the 1080 sets and so forth.
You might actually get some games that actually look like they could happen in the real world, even though they're happening in a virtual.
Well, I mean,
world,
that's still that's still software rendering and all that. That's got to be developed. Yeah, but I mean, it's. I think the biggest thing is you're gonna. I think 8K is not necessarily like. I think Phil might be onto something in the sense like. Do you need 8K? Not necessarily.
Probably not.
No.
You know, like going forward, you probably won't need to go that high. But Hop, you're also right that TV manufacturers are going to push the envelope and make it a standard because they have to make money by selling more sets. I mean,
they got
to
give people a reason to upgrade. Otherwise, they won't ever upgrade.
I'm still sitting on a 1080p TV because it works. You know,
right?
So, like, I have no reason to jump up to 4K. Now, with the Series X, I do have a reason, but I'm not going to, at least immediately, for the time
this
being,
is only because you haven't seen a game in proper HDR. When you see
I have
that.
Seen a game in proper HDR, I have, but you know what, it costs money.
Dude, but it's
a lot of people, it's got
so much more affordable now.
No,
than it
totally
was like 5 years ago. Five years ago an HDR set was insane.
Oh, I don't disagree, and I mean I've looked at it, but at the same time I'm like pay like $600-700 for a decent set that is going to do what I want it to do, or use the one I have right now working and I can use that money for something else. So
I
mean, it's all about how your priorities on your ducats and what you want to do with them. But I mean, for the time being, I think 4K is fine. I think it's just all going to be about developers and software and hardware to push the boundaries of what 4K can do.
So about these developers for Elden Ring?
So here's the thing. If you know anything about me, you know that I love the Dark Souls series. So I'm hugely invested in it. Really bummed I can't get access to Demon Souls. Really hurt by that. I mean, I could go buy a PlayStation, but again, money. But Elden Ring is from Software. That guy's name, Hideki Miyazaki. I'm just butchering it like crazy, but he
I couldn't help.
What, 2 years ago at E3, they announced Elden Ring, and it's the George R.R. Martin collaboration with From Software.
I remember when they announced that.
Yeah, so everybody's super stoked about this, but they went dark like immediately after announcing it. They haven't shared a damn thing about it. But here's the thing. The subreddit has gone nuts, and they've pretty much wrote their own lore for the entire game. Like, bosses, movesets, armor, weapons. I mean, the subreddit has pretty much written the game for them. And so now some of the people in the subreddit have gotten together, and they've gotten some programmers and artists and things, and they're creating their own fake lore edition of the game. From Software hasn't confirmed anything, hasn't said anything about their lore that they came up with and whether it's legit or not. Like, I mean, it's just completely fan made for a 2.5 minute trailer that came out 2 years ago. So it's kind of crazy. If you get, I know Hop, you like to go down the subreddit holes, but this game, like, they've done some really cool things. They've created a whole boss fight that's like early in the game, and then like it's referenced again later on in some other lore. I mean, it's kind of like the Star Wars expanded universe where multiple authors have gone together, but now it's all starting to like link together. And like I said, they've got some developers creating the fake lore edition is what it's called. And it's based off of this, again, 2.5 minute trailer of Elden Ring. So I'm kind of more excited for the fake game than I am the real game now. So let's see what happens. I do hope when they finally come out with the real game that there's some really good ties to the subreddit and the some of the work that these fans have put together for this, because that would be a nice homage to them. So,
Nothing else, they'll have like a mod that'll have all the user created stuff in there. I'm sure somebody's going to put that together and it'll be out. probably a couple years later or something.
I just think that would be a huge miss from the developers to not do something. I mean, you know they're watching the subreddit. You know, it's...
Can they legally use some of the stuff because they don't own the rights to it?
Like the people who are making the fake game?
Yeah, yeah, because they don't know who owns it. They might... Some people might steal stuff from somebody else.
I mean, they could have permission, or they could be really making a game that is based off of it in a way, but not necessarily have any names or assets that look like anything that was from the 2.5 minute. I mean, there's literally only 2.5 minutes of footage out about this game. So they could create their own game based off of it in a lot of ways. So
they could, yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. I'm not a copyright lawyer. Not my expertise. So... I can't really tell you anything about it, but I mean, what I do know is Hop is going to begin his jollies rocking here this weekend, right? Next weekend?
Well, not for me, but this weekend, the Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War Beta pre-order edition starts for PlayStation 4 October 8th and 9th. Open beta on PlayStation 4 starts October 10th. The following Thursday, October 15th, if you pre-ordered on PC and Xbox, you get into the open beta. And then October 17th, the full open beta starts that will include cross-play between PS4, PC, and Xbox. They're going to have this beta going, I think, a total of 2 weeks for the PlayStation players and only a week for Xbox and PC players. The cool thing is with this Black Ops Cold War beta is, you know, they're using it for people to test things. There's been many updates since the alpha. They've changed the snipers, the quick scoping, they tweaked the slide. There's going to be a few new maps, a few new surprises. We're going to get to try the fire team mode. There's going to be new guns. But if you play during the beta and level up to level 10, you're going to get a blueprint for a Type 821 Uzi that you'll get to have when the full game comes out. If you're a Call of Duty Mobile player, you'll get a special Adler skin for Call of Duty Mobile, which I don't play, but that's cool for those people that do. So I just thought that was pretty cool. I mean, we know that Activision are not the most generous company, but it does sound like some cool perks for fans. So I'm excited. I'm excited to play, right? Yeah, speaking of which, we got a good list of games. Some already out. Some more coming out this month. So October 1st, they released a free on the Switch Super Mario Bros. 35. I downloaded it for my son to check out. He wasn't too thrilled with this game. He prefers Mario Maker 2 and new Super Mario Bros. U. October 2nd, Crash Bandicoot 4. It's about time that hit PlayStation and Xbox. Star Wars Squadrons was released on the same day, PS4, Xbox, and PC. October 6th, early access to Baldur's Gate 3 on PC. October 8th, Ride 4 comes out on PlayStation, Xbox, PC. October 9th, FIFA 21, the series that will probably go on long past our lives. PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC.
Very true.
Yeah, well, I mean, everybody loves football / soccer.
You know, I could be wrong, but for a long time, they were still making the FIFA games available on PlayStation 2s.
I wouldn't surprise me, because there's a lot of countries where people still played those. October 13th, G.I. Joe Operation Blackout. This actually looks kind of fun on PS4, Xbox One, and Switch, and PC. I saw the trailer, and as an old-school G.I. Joe fan, that looked pretty cool. Another game that same day, October 13th, Remothered Broken Porcelain, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. October 15th, Cloudpunk, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. October 16th, Mario Kart Live Home Circuit on the Switch and NHL 21 on PS4 and Xbox One. That Live Home Circuit is like an augmented reality Mario Kart game where you actually have a real, like, radio-controlled Mario Kart you put in your house, and then it's like your Switch has the kart has a little camera, and your Switch, you race the tracks. It looks like an interesting concept. October 20th, Amnesia Rebirth, PS4 and PC. October 27th, Ghost Runner, PS4, Xbox, Switch, and PC. Legend of Heroes, Trails of Cold Steel 4. It sounds like an RPG on PlayStation 4. October 29th, Watch Dogs Legion. This would be the third game in the series, I think.
Yep,
PS4, Xbox, and PC. I've meant to play this series and just have never got around to it. So
I played the first two. I actually had a pre-order of Watch Dogs Legion, but since it was supposed to come out earlier this year and it was
delayed.
So yeah. They kind of canceled my pre-order, so I kind of put that in. I think I switched it to Cyberpunk 2077. So
that comes out next month. October 30th, The Dark Pictures Anthology Little Hope for PS4, Xbox, and PC. And then on the same day, on the Switch, Pikmin 3 Deluxe. A lot of people are excited for that because the Wii U edition did not get a lot of love, so they're hoping that the Switch version of Pikmin will really take off. And if you want to pre-order any of these games, where's the best place to do that, Finn?
You know, you could go to Amazon.com and, you know, find the game you like, copy the link, paste it in our Discord, and get an affiliate link that you can use to also then give us a little bit of a kickback. Also coming up, if you didn't know, is Amazon Prime Day, which is October 13th through 14th. Lots of really great deals on just anything in the world of Amazon. So if you want to come into our Discord and just type exclamation point support, you will get some links to our affiliate page that you can then use to find those items on Amazon Prime Day. So really encourage you guys to do that. It helps us keep the lights on, a tag pays for the website, pays for a few other things, and also will allow us to do some fun little activities that me and the other council members are working on to hopefully liven the spirits up of the old Tag Seva. So again, Amazon affiliate links helps us out a lot. I do have a community question. It's kind of nice. We have Are You Dead on. He's been sending me a few of them lately. He was telling me earlier that he likes to come up with these questions on his drive home from the grocery store.
Drive into the office, really.
Oh, drive into the office. But either way, he sent me a couple community questions. But this question comes from one of our recent guest hosts, Cowboy Raptor of the Cowboy Raptor podcast. You know, nice, enjoyable dude. So if you want to give him a shout out and thanks for submitting a question. His question is, have games gotten too real or realistic, or the realism in games become too real? And if so, do you have any examples or thoughts about that?
There's been some games where they've gotten a little too realistic. I remember Call of Duty, which version of it? I think Modern Warfare 2 or something, or the last one where they had one of the missions on the campaign actually had you running through an airport, but you could skip this part of the mission.
Modern Warfare 2,
yeah.
Mission, no
yeah,
Russian.
Like, what, two?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No I Russian. Just recently played through that on the remastered campaign. That was...
And that one was...
that was intense.
That was too realistic or too violent, but...
Yeah, if you play the remaster, there's a bunch of warnings, and you have to agree to accept them. And you can actually opt out of certain missions in the game; it will skip. And I think that's one of them.
Yes. So you could have skipped that back in the day, but people were still complaining about it, and it was just kind of comical, I guess, and maybe not so. But
yeah, when he asked that question, that was one of the missions that or games. Well, I think just Call of Duty in general. Especially with Modern Warfare, this last reboot of it, and that one mission really...
Were you the kids?
Oh, dude, that...
Yeah, it's intense. It's very intense. Yeah. I think there's good and bad to come from that. So, I mean, would I want my kids playing something like that? Hell to the F, no. Do I appreciate what they were trying to do to push the boundaries of storytelling and to let people know, like, hey, you know what? Like, we live in a very soft and civilized world here in the United States and a lot of Western places, but that setting that game takes place, that's probably the lives of a lot of children growing up. My boss, his wife is from a Middle Eastern country, and she said that was her childhood, was shit blowing up everywhere, jets flying over. Every day was a day that you thought you were going to die. And so,
I've heard that a lot.
That's the real deal. And it's kind of a rude awakening to have that in your face. Mm-hmm. But it's also good that people know that this the whole world isn't as civilized as we are here.
It's very. But
I wouldn't want children. I wouldn't want youngsters playing that. And hopefully, parents out there are not letting their kids play a game that has a mature rating. But we all know that does happen.
As a teacher of young adolescent children, I can tell you that parents are stellar human beings, and when they see those mature ratings, they stay away from those games.
And there are some that don't, though, unfortunately.
Yeah. Grand Theft Auto for children does not exist.
Not every parent is paying attention 24/7. No. And to be fair, being a parent is tough.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I have two kids. You have a kid. It's not the easiest thing.
So I was going to say, like, when I saw this question, though, like, after I thought about those things, like, I started thinking about, like, the gore in games. Like,
some of it's a little extreme, right?
You know, and it is. And do you remember how there was a TV show? You just mentioned it to me, like, a few weeks ago, High Score on Netflix, where they talked about that in one of them, where they started to push the boundaries, I think, back in Mortal Kombat.
That was the first game that really started to up the gore level, right?
Yeah. And so, like, I was thinking about, like, man, it's come a long way. And, like, I mean, Doom and some of these other games where, like, you know, the blood is just, like, almost visceral.
It was cartoony.
The guts.
It was fun.
That's all they could do back then. But yeah,
well, I'm talking about now, like, Doom 2016 and The Eternal and, like, all some of these other games that have come out since then.
Gears of War.
You kind of really see the flesh, like, being ripped and things like that. But, like,
veins popping and spraying.
But here's the thing, though. Like, it harkened back to when I first saw Saving Private Ryan and that first 7.5 minutes.
Right? That was intense. That was so intense.
Like, I know that that was a movie and it's not necessarily the most, like, 100% accurate portrayal of wartime violence, but, like, that sits with me still to this day. Like,
Interesting you say that. What I understand is that they actually talked to as many D-Day vets that were alive and asked them to describe what that battle was like and what they actually saw. And a lot of that was from their story. So that level of, like, dismembered bodies flying around was true. And I was like, holy shit.
But I will say, like,
it's crazy. Yeah.
I don't know if a game has gotten there for me yet. Like, a lot of it still.
Modern Warfare's done it. It's gotten to there at points where they get close, but it's not. It's never gone to that level because they can't put too many things on there.
Yeah, well, it just seems like it's still, like, I don't know, computer fake. Like, you know, that computer generated graphic. Like, it doesn't necessarily seem
that. Yeah, it's not quite there. Yeah.
You don't have
Saving Private Ryan thing really struck a chord because that looked real to me. Like, it, like, when the guy's, like, holding his own leg up in the air, like, you know, that felt so viscerally real to me. And, you know, but now I would say, like, I feel like, though, in modern media, I'm so desensitized. I was just watching an episode of a TV show that I'm not going to name. But it really, I saw something pretty as intense and gore, and I was just like, oh, yeah, whatever. But I mean, I do remember watching Saving Private Ryan, and that just, like, holy crap, that's real. So, I mean,
yeah, I've actually served in the military, so I've been to some of these places where you just see, it's like, it's amazing what these people live through. And even when you're there after the fact, I mean, you see, you literally can still see the holes in the walls where the bullet holes from the war. And that this thing happened like 10 years ago at the time. But,
well, yeah, I mean, I will say, Hop said it, we are a pretty soft civilization because we have our first world problems that we often, you know, bitch and complain about. So, you know, whereas there's other people across the world that have lived through, it's today I'm gonna die, you know, today's it, I'm done, right? So yeah, thank you, Cowboy Raptor, for that question. It definitely sparked a little bit of a good conversation here. We would love to hear your questions. They can be as serious as Cowboy Raptor's or as silly as Are You Dead's question that he asked for me for the next episode. You know, and, you know, you could even just ask Hop what kind of underwear he's wearing on a Tuesday night. So that one's for you, Tamzilla.
I thought this was the no pants
show. It is the no pants show. We're always pantsless here.
We'll leave that one alone then. Okay.
All right. Well, you can ask Cop what his favorite Thanksgiving meal that he likes to put his genitalia in. How about that? You know, mashed potatoes, anybody?
I'm going to pass. it's all you two. Come on.
Are You Dead? Since you're passing on that, what are you playing, though?
Kind of playing a lot of games right now. I've been playing a lot of Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Borderlands 3 Hops got convinced me with a lot of begging to come back into it. Not really. I'm being exaggeration, I guess. I've tried actually the new Star Wars Squadrons, and the story's not bad. It's not great. I haven't actually tried the online yet, but it's a pretty fun game. It's just something that you haven't got to do in a long while, because there's very few flight simulators out there right now or good flight games. I still play Star Wars Battlefront 2 on occasion, and I've been starting to play Among Us as well, which is a fun game if you can get a good crew or people you know. You have to have, like, at least 5 people to play that game, but it's better if you can have 10 or 8. It's just a fun game of trying to convince people that you're not the imposter. Or that you're that somebody else is the imposter. I'm pretty sure Fenn's the imposter right here. I think we should kick him out.
I've seen you guys playing that. That's only on PC, right?
It's like and mobile.
PC and mobile. It's actually got cross-play, so you can actually... I think a lot of us do play on PC, but you can actually play with people that play or have it on their phone. iPhone,
that's cool.
Android.
Yeah. You just use, like, a room code, and then you log in and go. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. You know, it's kind of like Mafia, Town of Salem, Werewolf, so it, you know, somebody runs around, kills people, and you try to figure out who the person that's murdering everybody is.
Yeah, and everybody else is doing tasks, so they're not really paying attention, so it makes it easier or harder for the killer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As they try to fake doing those tasks.
Yep. I mean, yeah, it's a fun little game, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment, but anything else you're playing, or...
No, I played a little bit of Marvel Ultimate Alliance, but it's got a good story, but
Ultimate Alliance or Avengers?
What was that?
Ultimate Alliance, or do you mean Avengers?
Oh, the new Avengers game. I'm trying to remember what it's called.
I was like, Ultimate Alliance is old.
Is it just Avengers by Crystal Dynamics? Is that it?
Oh, great. Now I got to look it up. Yeah.
I don't really think there's a... I think it's just Marvel's Avengers.
It's just Marvel Avengers. I thought it was... I was trying to remember the title as we started. I go, what was that? Was it Ultimate Alliance or something? But I think that's the Switch version.
Yes.
Or whatever.
There is a Switch one called Ultimate Alliance 3, which is a
Switch
shame
exclusive.
It still has not come out on anything else.
Nope.
No, but the Avengers is actually, it's a fun game. I haven't played it multiplayer, but the story is really good. But I don't know if there's, I don't think there's much in there for playing it with friends and stuff.
Yeah.
But.
Okay. All right, Hop.
Game to get when it's on sale. Anyways,
Hop, what are you jamming at to?
Still playing a lot of Modern Warfare and Warzone. Just have so much fun with that damn game. I really like the gunsmith system and the little change-ups. Not super excited about the current gun meta going on right now with the SPR 208 sniper kind of taking over. I'm hoping they patch that out. They didn't patch it out this week, so hopefully soon, because it's a little overpowered. I recently tried to get back into Division 2 because some friends and friends of Tag have been playing it, but I just can't get into that game. And it's not anything to do with the game. It's me. It's just not for me. I'm not having fun in that game at all. So I'm not gonna play it. I've been having a crap ton of fun playing Borderlands 3 again after the Krieg DLC. And they announced a new game mode that's coming called Arms Race. I'm excited about that. It's just been fun farming gear with Fallen and a couple other guys and helping Are You Dead finish his story. I scored a God-tier class mod for my Amara that's actually pretty sick, and I got double the damage out of my build just with this class mod. It's pretty crazy. And then I also picked up Star Wars Squadrons, and it's not exactly blowing up my skirt. It's pretty. I like dogfighting. The campaign is kind of meh. The characters are really boring in the campaign. The story, like, you don't really, like, you just want to skip because the way they tell the story is really boring. Like, they are telling you the story, they're showing you the story, not immersing you in the story. So there's really no reason to listen to the cutscenes. You're just like, whatever, this is boring. Some of the missions are convoluted and the objectives are not easy to figure out until you die a couple times. I feel like a sequel will probably be really, really good. I played online and got totally crushed, which was like, wow, I'm really suck at this game. So I'm not totally sold on it yet. It's a pretty looking game, though, and I love Star Wars. But I think I enjoy the dogfighting more on Battlefront 2. But it may be because I could have third person, and it was fun to see my X-Wing and my TIE Fighter, you know, flying around. What about you, Finn? What you been jamming to?
I took a detour in my gaming lately. Me and B-Daddy have been talking a lot about this. We've both been kind of in a gaming rut as of the last few weeks. I think partially it's just like life has just been really chaotic for me, so I have not found the joy in gaming that I normally find. But I, if I do log on and I don't see anybody playing anything that I'm like interested in at that moment, then I've been jumping back into Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning. I have been playing the 360 version, not the Re-Reckoning remastered version that came out. And I've been enjoying it again. It's such a really good game. It just sucks that studio couldn't manage their expectations and money and all that and completely blew up. But I'm glad that at least the property has been bought by somebody and maybe we can see something come out of it, because it's definitely fun. I like the combat in this game. It's probably, for a Western RPG, it's probably one of the better combat systems that are out there. You can kind of blend melee, like, might builds with sorcery or finesse builds, and you can blend all three if you really wanted to, so it's kind of cool. Borderlands 3, been working on the Krieg Fuster Cluck DLC. I'm going to turn Mayhem mode off on that and just jam through it, because Mayhem mode is really getting me frustrated. But I'm enjoying the DLC so far. It's pretty cool. I get what you're saying about the Escher, MC Escher
right.
Painting.
The visual.
Yeah, it's definitely got that vibe to it. So, and then just as like, you know, like, oh, cool, Hop and McSwitch and some other people are playing COD Modern Warfare, sure, I'll jump on there. But I've been also, I've been really wanting to get back more into Sea of Thieves. So if there's anybody out there that wants to jam to some sailor tunes and drinking grog on the high seas, then hit me up and let me know, because I've been really feeling that lately. It's been kind of nice. Maybe I'm just jonesing for a break at the ocean with how the real world's been treating me lately. So, by the way, I'm fine, guys. I'm just, life, things are busy. Don't worry about me, guys. I'm cool. All right. Sorry.
Well, it's 2020. I don't think anybody's
Yeah, so I didn't want that to come off like I'm in a dark place, because I'm not. But anyways, moving on. Are You Dead? You are our game night master for Thursday nights. Tell us what's going on for the next few Thursdays.
As our Xbox champion, it's my job to throw together a schedule for Thursday night gaming, since everybody's kind of getting burned out from playing Halo every night. So we've switched the rotation to doing Halo every 3 weeks. So October 8th, we're playing Hotshot Racing,
which is awesome.
15th, we're playing Halo MCC. I have our always favorite, Titanfall 2, on October 22nd. And we're playing Dead by Daylight, October 29th. A nice way to end a Halloween season.
Because it's spooky.
It's spooky. Yes, I figured we'd try to change it up a little bit, get some new games in there. Hoppo, what happens on Friday nights after?
Friday nights is Fight Club. Lately, it's been mostly Killer Instinct and Virtua Fighter 5. We have snuck in some Street Fighter Collection on Xbox One. Sega did announce a new Virtua Fighter is coming, so a lot of us are pretty excited about that. Hopefully, Microsoft will do another Killer Instinct. I think at this point in the game, because the one that launched with the one is now like, what, 5 years old, 6 years old, it's time for a new one, and it'd be fun if they did a new revamp sequel.
Did you see there was like a tweet out there with like, it was like a one of those like fighter selection rooms
with all
the Xbox properties.
All the
like
new Xbox properties. Dude,
oh, yes. Yeah.
That would be awesome. Like a Smash Brothers type game with the Microsoft Studios properties like Doom Guy and somebody from Elder Scrolls and Master Chief. That'd be pretty dope. But
that would be.
I mean,
they have enough properties now to pull off their own fighting game.
We have some other community things going on, Finn. Tell us about these things.
Yeah, Wednesday night for the last few weeks, there's been an Among Us night trying to discover who the imposter is.
I heard it's Tainted.
Yeah, Tainted's been kind of running the show on that. There's some...
That's because he's the imposter.
No, I mean he's the imposter.
Oh, no, I mean he's been kind of running the show too. Because yeah,
he's the imposter.
He is the imposter.
We should shadow ban him. No, just kidding.
However, the last few games that I played, Are You Dead was the imposter both times that I called it, and no one believed me. So
Nobody believes I'm the imposter. I think there was like one night where we were playing, and I think we played for like 3 hours, and I wasn't the imposter once. Like,
do this like innocent Doe like thing, like, oh, I'm not the imposter. I don't even know
it's
what I'm
not
doing.
Me. It's Hop.
And everybody somehow buys it.
I don't even play that game.
Yeah, I mean that's pretty much what he does. He calls out nobody that's even there, and they're still like, oh yeah, he's totally right. Hop is the imposter, and you're not there.
We haven't seen Hop do anything here.
No. Anyways. Yeah, Among Us Wednesday nights. Usually the code is posted somewhere in the PC General channel. And it's also, like I said, like Are You Dead said, it's crossplay between mobile and PC. You can get it through Steam. It's like $5. Or you can get
five
it on mobile
on
for like $5 too. But
I think it's $2 on mobile or $3.
It's free on mobile if you want to play with ads, and the ads are kind of annoying. But anyways, come join us there. We do have a book club. We have people that are reading books all the time, talking about it in the book channel and the book club role as well. So come join that. If you enjoy things of the paper, pen and ink variety. So, this episode's deep dive is something that Hop kind of alluded to earlier, and we've talked about this kind of thing like in passing on many episodes and in terms of many games, but you know, games that you want to love, or something that you may have been excited for prior to release, but then when you get it, it's kind of a bit of a letdown. You know, that seems to be a thing these days. I mean, back then, a long time ago we had that same issue, but it seems like now with the sheer amount of video games coming out, we get excited for things and then we get let down pretty easily. Or there are games that people absolutely love and you just cannot buy into. For instance, Hop and I have definitely discussed this one on many occasions, and that's Apex Legends. Like, we just want to love it. We want to play it with our friends.
I do want to love it because I love Titanfall.
But we can't. We just can't get into it. And no offense to those that love Apex Legends, I'm happy you love it. That's awesome. You're supporting it's a good game. It's a great game. I think it's fantastic. It's just not my cup of tea. But, you know, I want to turn it over to you guys. Like, are there a lot of games right now like that you're just like watching everybody going through and like, oh, this is amazing, this is awesome, and now I'm just... And then you go get it, and you're like, nope, shouldn't have spent that $40.
Or $60.
Man, that sounds like you took a shot right in right there. I'm going to go first then.
Go for it, Hop.
Well, first I'm going to go with, you know, Division 2. I really wanted to like the game. I enjoyed the first one a bit, and I might have enjoyed the first one more only because at the time it came out, there wasn't really anything. It was pre-Borderlands 3. There wasn't really much like that on the Xbox One outside of Diablo 3 and then the Borderlands Handsome Collection. And it was new, and it was pretty cool, and playing with B-Daddy and listening to him cuss every night was pretty fun. But Division 2 came out, and it didn't change all that much, and it was still a little too bullet spongy for me. The graphics in the game are beautiful. I love the idea of the story, but it never quite grabbed me and pulled me into the game. So I'm tossing that one to the side. You guys that enjoy it, keep enjoying it. Keep supporting that developer. It seems like a really cool thing. It's just not for me. The second one, and I've talked with a few people on our tag Discord and a few people in real life, this one probably hurts more than any game in my history of gaming to be let down by, and that's Doom Eternal. I have loved every Doom game, for better or for worse. Recently, I went back to play Doom 3 because they re-released that, and I realized, wow, this game was excellent at the time, but now it feels really dated. And I feel like Doom Eternal may be the same way, but I don't even like Doom Eternal right now. The reason is it doesn't. They got away from the frantic, no holds barred, nonstop combat of Doom and added way too much platforming and way too much puzzle elements. Almost more like a weird sequel to Quake 1 than Doom for me. Kind of threw in the towel after all. I got tired of all these platforming things. I was like, what are all these jump puzzles doing in my Doom game? That's not Doom for me. And then my third, most recently, I was really excited for Star Wars Squadrons. I played a ton of X-Wing TIE Fighter and X-Wing Alliance on PC. I loved Rogue Squadron and Rogue Leader. And I really liked the flying modes on Battlefront 2, so I thought, okay, they're taking the flying from Battlefront 2, they're making it its own game, but they're going to make it more like X-Wing TIE Fighter. Everything on there checks all these boxes. I should love it, but I don't, and that's Star Wars Squadrons. The graphics are pretty, the story is kind of non-existent, and you don't care. The dogfighting's fun, but I feel like with the crossplay on and the PC players having joysticks and all that stuff, I'm just getting destroyed. And I'm like, holy crap, like, terribly. I might just need to play it more. I may just really suck at this game. And that's okay. But I'm just not having fun with it. What about you guys?
Well, for me, I would have to agree with you on the Division 2. I loved the game at first, but the expansion, I think I just tried the New York expansion, and I just couldn't get into it. I mean, I loved the first one, but it might have been just being able to play with some of the guys at TAG. It was just fun. I think I was playing a lot with Hybrid, like every night or every.
Yeah, I played a lot of Division 1 with Hybrid too. That was good times.
And that probably is the only reason I loved it. I think I had the same issue when I was the original Borderlands. I wanted to love that game, but I just couldn't. But since I had nobody to play with, I just never finished it. I don't think I ever got past that first city, the starting city of all the places. And it wasn't until I joined TAG and Hop's like, I'll help you get through it. And it was a lot of fun. It's one of those games, it sucks playing it alone, but it's fun playing it with a group. And it just, I think that's one of the reasons why those games I hated when I first got them. And now it just feels like I love them because you have people to play with. But I still haven't tried this. I'm kind of nervous about Star Wars Squadrons because I might feel the same way about that. It's just like, every Star Wars games, you just want to love it, but a lot of them seem to let you down. Battlefield 2 let me down for the longest time. Then they.
Oh, yeah, Battlefront 2 is pretty broken at launch, yeah.
It was. I actually canceled my pre-order and was like, oh, I'm not going to touch this, and now it's one of my favorite games. I still come back to it. I've had it for years now, and it's just, I still love it, and. But it's like every Star Wars game. Is this one going to let me down, or is it going to be a game I love? And I think there's some other games, but I'm just drawing a blank of what they are.
I'm not pre-ordering another Star Wars game unless Respawn is making it.
Mm-hmm.
Because Fallen Order was great. And I didn't pre-order that one. Yeah. I actually waited for that one to go on sale.
Yeah, as soon as I saw the commercial on that, I go, I got to pre-order this. And I did the same thing with Squadrons, and I go, geez, I'm just a glutton for punishment. Is this going to be a game I love, or is it going to be one I hate? It's like you just got to have it cross your fingers and hope.
See, I had the weight approach on Squadrons because I felt like deep inside, like this was not going to be a game that was going to hold me, like hold my attention or keep me interested in it for more than maybe the initial week. And at first I was starting to get a little bit of FOMO with everybody talking about it. But then now that I'm starting to see people kind of go, maybe not, or, you know, I'm not feeling as much so more anymore or whatever.
I'm really glad I'm past. I almost requested a refund on the first day I played it because within the first hour, I just was like, I am not feeling this. I was like, I'm going to give it longer.
I did the exact opposite. I picked it up and I go, I'm not sure if I'm loving the story, but I think the online will be great. So I actually bought a second copy for my PC just so I could try it on VR. I go, man, I'm just a glutton for punishment. I go, I really want to use my flight sticks. And
yeah, you have, I mean, that's definitely more incentive if you have a setup like that. That's what I was saying. When you play it, you'll see the players that are kicking your butt, they're on PC.
Yeah. And so, like, one of the things that, like, you guys may know this about me by now, but, like, I'm a pretty easy person to satisfy when it comes to things. Like, I enjoy most terrible things in the world, in terms of, like, movies and TV shows and video games. Like, I will find the good in it because, you know, if I'm going to spend time with it, I want to try to find a way to enjoy it. And so I end up watching a lot of terrible shows and movies and saying, oh, it's great. And people go, what the hell is wrong with you, Finn? This thing was a pile of hot dog shit inside of a garbage can on an Arizona summer day. Like, come on.
It's a cult classic. Just tell them that.
Yeah. But anyways, there was a game, Alpha Protocol, that I was so excited for. It was back on the 360 days. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was done by Obsidian. I could be wrong, but, like, I was so excited about it. It was like one of those, like, kind of choose your own adventure RPG style games. Like, as you go through the story, like, as you make different decisions, things affect it. And, you know, it was built that way. And then the game came out and everything pretty much kind of fell flat on its face with the gameplay mechanics, the way it worked and all that stuff. And it just struggled. And it was such a bummer for me. But another game that came to mind was Mass Effect Andromeda. As you know, Mass Effect 2 was my...
I really wanted to love Andromeda, so I'm with you on this one. Keep going.
Well, here's the thing.
I didn't mind the game. I didn't hate it. I didn't love it, but it was still a good game, I guess.
Well, Mass Effect 2 is my game of the decade still, but I loved the Mass Effect original trilogy through and through. When EA officially finally comes out with the remastered trilogy, I will definitely buy it and play through it all. But anyways, Mass Effect Andromeda was a game I was so stoked for, and then it came out and it kind of fell flat on its face. And like Cop said, like, I really wanted to love it, and I kept pushing myself. I'm here to tell you guys, I actually kind of like Mass Effect Andromeda. Like, it's not the same thing as Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3, but I really enjoyed the game. Like, I enjoyed what they were doing with it. I'm really bummed that they, you know, shit-canned the game and they're not going to finish it out or add the DLC about the Quarians showing up or needing help with whatever's going on with them. Like, I'm really pissed about that. I was really disappointed. I really was disappointed for the first half of that game. And then all of a sudden something happened and I fell in love with it again. Like,
yeah, I kind of felt the same way, I guess. I can't remember if I hated the first part, but at the end I was like, it's not a bad game. It's not horrible.
I mean, the facial animation sucked ass in that game.
Oh, yes, yes. I remember bugs where you could actually see inside the people's faces because they didn't load the skin or something.
I ran into so many bugs with things. At one point, the character models were doing like a crucifixion pose through the entire cutscene, like all of them. It was most wild thing I've ever seen. And then at one point, my command, the writer... Ryder was his name, right? He was like floating in the air doing the crucifixion pose. Like, what the hell are you doing, man? But yeah, it's wild. I mean, I think we're at a point in time now with video games that we're getting inundated with so many games so quickly and so often that it's getting harder and harder to get excited for some games, but also, you know, maintain that excitement through those games and, you know, be like, oh man, I absolutely love this thing. I mean, look at The Last of Us 2. It was a game that came out. So many people were excited for it, and it has received so much backlash. And I have not read a lot about what the backlash is because I don't want it spoiled for me, just in the case, the chance I do one day play it.
I've read about it, and it's like I almost bought that game, and then I saw the backlash, and I go, maybe I'll just wait and get it when it's on sale.
Yeah, and but it's like stuff like that that I think is just really. We have all the people now. The internet is a bigger deal now, and people are blasting things for no reason.
You mean they like to shit on other people's pizza?
Yeah.
Yes.
Pretty much that's what it is.
That's the entire purpose of the internet these days.
Well, and this kind of leads into this little off topic. Well, on topic, but, you know, tangent on this. But, like, the whole thing that people are, like, reviewing games, like, I'm glad Metacritic and things like that have changed a lot of their systems, but, like, you know, a trailer comes out and everybody doesn't like the trailer, so it gets like a bunch of 1-star reviews or 0-star reviews or something, and it's like, the game's not even out yet, and how are you saying it's the worst product ever made or blah blah blah, like
people trying to be bullies or whatnot, who knows.
So, you know, I told you this before the show, sometimes I told you this, Are You Dead, before the show, I said, you know, human beings suck sometimes, and, you know, I think going around and being, you know, too frustrated and angry by games is not worth it. You know, like Cop said, don't shit on other people's pizza. Like, if it's not your cup of tea, just go, hey, I tried, and move on, but don't go through and
dick. Exactly, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, we've all talked about, like, you know, if you love The Division 2, awesome. I'm just not into it, so I'm just not going to play it anymore. I love you. Don't invite me to play it, because I won't.
I just turned my Xbox on to invite you to play The Division 2, Hop. I expect you to join me here now in a second.
I uninstalled it, so sorry.
I'll wait.
I actually still haven't installed it. I should probably... You're saying I should load it up and then invite you to a game and then close out myself? It'll be there when you get turned on your Xbox, after all. You can install the game and try to accept it, and it'll probably be no longer a valid invite, but still, you'll have it.
You know, that is one way to do things, but what I can say is we are the TagCast. We represent theadultgamer.com. Come find us at theadultgamer.com and click on the Discord and come join the fun there. We talk about all sorts of random things.
No matter what game you like or don't like, there's somebody there to either play it or talk about it.
That's true. And, you know, we have a wide range of people that play games on all platforms and all games. And, you know, like Cop said, just come in and chat it up and, you know, just stick around for a while and then get to know us. Just ignore the guy named Tony. You know.
Or Ubo. Oh, sorry.
Oh, Ubo.
I better step away now.
Ubo's becoming one of my best friends. I enjoy that man so much.
Ubo, I love you. That's the only reason I pick on you.
He's got a soft spot in my heart now. I see the light of the panda. Not gonna lie.
I still have to say the red panda is definitely superior. But yeah.
Do you see what I did there, Hop? I baited him.
Oh, my Lanta.
Anyways, come join us up, have some fun. We would love to have you in the Discord and chat about whatever.
Tell us are you what dead? You're excited for that let you down. I'm just going to say, I'm just throw one last ball down there. Most VR games that let me down, or a lot of them have, not all. But...
And hence why Phil Spencer said it's not there yet. Like,
it's not there yet.
There's a small subset of fans are like, we want VR. And then there's guys like you that are like, well, I've tried half these VR games and they're not that great. It's because the technology is not quite there yet. Right. It's coming along. It's made huge strides. Like, seeing what they've done is amazing, but it's not quite there yet. But we'll
I just
there.
Question if it'll ever become there where it's in everybody's home. It's going to be like a
maybe.
Must-have.
Yeah, maybe. We won't know. It's either 8K or VR. One of the two. Let's do it.
Probably 8K. All right. Anyways.
Well, here's Fenrir765 trying to log us out before the 60-minute mark, and Are You Dead and Hop just keeps us going. So,
well, you know what? We can continue this discussion at theadultgamer.com. Ping me, Optimus Maximus, and at Are You Dead, and we will talk about VR in a channel that the council needs to make about VR gaming. Or we can just bombard Sith posters, because that seems to be where everybody just talks about anything, right?
Or exactly. Xbox General or General or the random channel that
or
I have.
Podcast channel. Or
I need to figure out what to rename the random channel to for the next
VR,
few days.
There we go. You got a room just for it.
Oh, I've been loving the Stud Knuckle channel. That's been a good time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, you better keep Stud Knuckle on there for a little bit longer.
Oh, I've already received enough backlash for sunsetting Animal Crossing, so we're going to go ahead and call it there. Everybody, come join the fun. Are You Dead? Thank you for joining us. Hop, as always, it is awesome to have you as a co-host. And until the next time, have a great one, be safe, and catch us online at some time. Peace.
Take care.